So most of us are quite familiar with who Jason Bourne is. He is an assassin who has got amnesia. He forgot exactly who he was. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know what was happening. He had all of these skills and abilities that he was able to carry with him, but he didn't have a clue what they were for, anything. And he went on a journey throughout those three films of finding out who he was. Now, just to give you a little glimpse of what it was like for Jason Bourne, I have got a little video clip for you just to have a little watch. It's always good to see things like that. And this is what it was like. It was full of adventure, everyone going, but the one question he was asking was, who am I? And that is a question that we can all ask ourselves as well, isn't it? Is who am I? Who am I supposed to be? And I think everyone in this room would probably say we've asked that question of ourselves at some point or another. And it's what we ask for is about our identity, and there's the real Matt Damon, not our fake Matt Damon. And identity is something that's important to us all. It's who we are, and it says in the dictionary, the individual characteristics by which a person or thing is identified. Now, we all have some form of ID. Has anyone got a passport or a driving license? Yeah? We all have them. It's got all our basic ID on it, hasn't it? It's got our name, our address. It might have our signature on there, and it has all of the basic stuff that we need and that all-important photograph. Now, who here likes their passport or driver's license photograph? Oh, we have one, two in the room. Yeah, on mine, I look as if on my passport I'm about to burst out crying for some reason. And on my driver's license, I've got very short red hair, so it's not a good look. So I look at mine and think, oh, please, I need to change those photographs. And these are just only the basics of who we are. And it's not really all that we are, is it? It's just the basics for our identity. And when we look at who we are, we need to see ourselves as more than that. But there's three things that we often, as humans, base our identity on. And the first one is, the first thing we look at is this. It's, I am what I do. We look at what we do and we think, this is who I am. And it's often one of the first questions we ask people, isn't it? We say, oh, hi, how are you doing? What's your name? And what do you do? It's that first question, isn't it? And we find out about each other by what we're doing. But we're more than just what we do. We all have jobs. We all have things we might be. We could be mothers. We could be fathers. We're children of someone. We could be a grandchild of someone. We could even be a student, a pupil, a graduate. We could be a driver of some kind, driving lorries. We could be an entrepreneur. We could be a teacher. We all have these jobs and we do lots of things, but we're more than just what we do. We have more to ourselves than just that. Now, recently, 18 months ago, my job changed. I was full-time up here. I would helped firstly on the gap, working with young people day in, day out, going out on activities, teaching them things like job interview skills, how to go and get a job, of teamwork and communication. And I loved it. I love my life working up here. I enjoyed it. I had purpose. It was brilliant. And then 18 months ago, I had Evie and my life changed. Oh my goodness. I mean, people tell you your life changed. You say, yes, I know it's going to change, but actually did. I couldn't believe it. And then, So 18 months later, I'm still working through that change. But you know, I could have based my identity on the job that I had up here, and this could have been my life. But now that's been taken away from me. What do I do now? I have a new job. I have Evie to look after. I'm now, for the first time, a mother. Oh my goodness, it's a big responsibility. But you know, it's a job, but I'm more than just a mother to Evie. I have more about me than just that. And it's the same for everybody else. And as these things change, we can't base ourselves purely on, I am what I do. The second thing that we look at, it's, I am what people say I am. And this is something that has a really big impact on our lives, isn't it? If people speak well of us, it gives us confidence. If we say, oh, that was brilliant. Oh, you know, you're lovely, you are, aren't you? You're just really nice. Oh, that person over there, he's really good. And it builds your confidence. And it helps you to live with a confidence of saying, you know, people like me. Actually, I am quite good at that. That's pretty good, that is. And it can help you to say, do you know what? These people say that I'm this thing and I'm going to live to that. That is who I am. But then you have other people who might actually say, do you know, I don't like her. I don't like what they're doing. I don't agree with that. Or they might say to you, do you know, what you did is just rubbish. rubbish. And I can't believe you're even trying to do that. And it knocks us down, doesn't it? It brings us down. So we can have this emotional roller coaster of when people are saying good things, where people are like, yeah, it's amazing. I'm so good. And then when people say bad things, we're right down here. And it's like, oh no, man, am I that? Am I really that bad? Do people really think that badly of me? Am I who they say I am? But we can base our identity on these things. But you know what? We're more than what people say that we are. We're more than other people's opinions. And we don't have to base our lives around that. And working up here for the 10 years, I've worked with a number of different young people from age 8 up to age 16. And we can see how what people think of these people, of these young people, has an impact on their lives when they've been told it, you can't do that. You're not good at maths. You're not good at English. In fact, you know what? You're rubbish in school. You can't handle school. So you may as well just not bother. And they think, oh, do you know what? Maybe I won't bother. Maybe they're right. Maybe I don't stand a chance. And so they live to the expectations that have been put on them. And then they come and see us. And we said, you know what? You can do that. You can go and get a job. You can go and make something of your life. And they think, really? Can I? And they start living up to that expectation of saying, do you know what? I can do what you say I can do. But do you know what? They're more than just that. They're more than what we think. They're more than what you think. We are more than what people think of us. And the third thing is, I am what I have. And we can all have a lot of things. We can have good health. We could have a lovely family. We could have cars. We could have a home to live in. We could have money that we can go and spend, clothes to wear. We could have a really good financial security, have everything that we could possibly have. We could have friends who love us and that we can meet up with every day, every week, whatever it might be. But what happens when these things get taken from us? Our life changes. One day we might not have that job that we have. The financial security could just disappear. So can I base myself on what I have? Because again, I could be really up here. Yes, life is amazing. But then all of a sudden I could lose something and I'm down here. A family member could die. Something could happen. We could lose our friendship with someone. But you know what? We are more than what we have. We have more to us than that. And it says the same thing happened with Jesus when he was took out into the desert, when the Holy Spirit took him out into the wilderness for the 40 days, and he was tempted. He was tempted with these very things himself. And I'm just going to read it to you and put the next thing on. It says here, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, change this stone into a loaf of bread. And Jesus told him, no, people do not live by bread alone. Do you know the first thing that he was tempted on is, do you know what? You are what you do. If you can do this, then do you know what? Do it. You can base yourself on the things that you were able to achieve because of the Son of God. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to base my identity on what I can do. I'm more than just that. And then later on, he says, all right, then that didn't work. I'm going to try a new thing. And he said this, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them. The devil said, because they are mine to give you to anyone I please, I will give to you give it all to you if you will worship me. And he said, no, I won't do that. And you know, again, he said, you know what? I'll get everyone to love you. Everyone will think highly of you. They're going to think that you're amazing. You can be whatever these people say that you are. And he said, do you know what? I'm not going to base myself on that, on what people think, because I'm more than just that. And before, as he went through that, you could see that before he knew exactly who he was. And just beforehand, he was being baptized by John. And this is what happened. God came and spoke to him and rested upon him. And he said, you are my dear son, and I am pleased with you. He had his identity secure in who he was in Jesus. He was God's son. And he went into the wilderness facing the same temptations as us, facing our identity of saying who we are, what we can base ourselves on, and said, you know what? I'm more than all of that. I am God's son. And the same is true for every single one of us here as well. We are children of God because of what Jesus has done. We can say, do you know what? I'm more than what we can base our lives on. I am more than that. I am a child of God. And I want us to recognize how we can say and claim this so that we're not just saying, oh, well, that's great, I'm a child of God. I want us to really understand what it means for us and the implications of what it is to be a child of God so that we can truly fix who we are on this, so that we can understand it for ourselves and we can all fall into saying, well, do you know what? I do this and that's great. And what about what people think of me? Or what about what I have? What am I going to do then? But to say, actually, do you know what? I want to truly know who I am. And I can honestly tell you today that all of you are children of God. And I will tell you why now. Okay, oh, that was a bit loud. Okay, I'm going to take us back to the Garden of Eden. And back in the Garden of Eden, we have Adam and Eve, and we've got God. And it said that Genesis 1-2, it says that God said, now we will make humans, and they will be like us. We were created in the image of God. Adam and Eve were made in the image of God, and they were in a perfect relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. They would talk together, they would walk together. There was nothing wrong in that garden. And then we all know something did go wrong, and Adam and Eve decided that they would do something that God told them not to do, and they ate that apple, and they were disobedient, and they brought sin and disobedience and things that we do wrong, they brought that into the world on that day when they bit into that apple, the one thing that they weren't allowed to do in that garden. And let me just see where I am. And it's because of this that we have shame and fear brought into the world. It's the first time that Adam and Eve felt shame and felt fear. Before then, these emotions didn't exist. So this is what happened when he did that. That's where we get shame and fear from, when he brought that in himself. And it was through that and through Adam's disobedience that all of us are now separated from God. It was because of his one act that we were then separated, but which is why we come to Jesus. And when Jesus came, he brought us back into relationship with God. God didn't want us to be separated. He didn't want us to feel fear. He didn't want us to be in shame. He wanted us to be in that relationship with him and to say, do you know, I want to be back with you. So Jesus came. He lived in this earth as a perfect person. He helped us. He spoke to us. He taught us how to live. And then he went to the cross in our place and died. And then 3 days later, amazingly, rose again and defeated the one thing that was holding us back from God, and that is death. And he said, and because of that, we can be in relationship with God. And all we have to do is say sorry. How amazing is that? That we, out of one act, that it was sin was brought in, and out of another act that from Jesus, that we were brought back into relationship. And it says in Romans 5:18, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Kind of speaks to itself, doesn't it? Don't need to explain that one. So we can see just how these two things can help us find where our identity is and how we can come into saying, do you know, I am a child of God. And it says that all we need to do is this. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. So it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we've come from. All we've got to do is place our faith in Jesus, who came to take our place. And it's because of that that we can say that we are children of God. We are created in God's image. Before we did anything, before we said anything, God created us in his image. So it didn't have anything to do with what we said. It says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalm 139. Like, how amazing is that? And now we can say, because of Jesus, we are sons and daughters of God. And this is where we can base our identity, not on anything else, on these two facts right here. And because of that, we have 3 things that we can have as well. And the first thing is, we are all accepted. Everyone is accepted. In life, we go through phases where actually we might feel unaccepted or we might not know where we're at. And I can remember first days of school were always the worst when you start your new school. And I know there's a few people starting new school this year. Do you know, you just kind of feel sick and you feel a little bit nervous. You think, oh man, am I going to make any friends? is anyone going to like me? And even when you start university, I can remember going into uni, like leaving home, my parents and everything, and there you are with your bags. Oh my goodness, I'm on my own. Is anyone actually going to like me? Am I going to make friends here? And you think, oh, what can I do to be accepted? How can I make sure I'm okay? And this has been a long thing that people have struggled with. And out in 1936, this book was written, How to Win Friends and Influence People. So this, you can see this has been going on for a while, of how we can try and be accepted in our society. And there's 6 hints of ways that we could be more accepted by people, is to make people like us. Great tips, you can see, it makes sense. I'm not going to read them all out to you. You can have a little read of them if you would like to. But really, all of that makes sense. But as humans, to be honest, we're quite fickle, aren't we? We can accept people 1 minute and maybe something will go wrong in our relationship. Think, oh, do you know what? I'm not too happy about that. I don't know about that, actually. And we can create divides with ourselves because we're not perfect. But when we look at Jesus, we can see him accepting people time and time and time again. And we want to just keep on bringing it back to Jesus, because that's where we base our identity, on who he is and on who we are because of him. And Jesus, in his time when he was walking the earth, he went around accepting people all the time, all different types of people. And the first people I want to look at is the disciples. When we look at the disciples, they're a whole crew of different types of people. You've got fishermen, you've got tax collectors, you've got lots of different people. And when you look at Matthew, you can see how Jesus accepted him. He went to the tax collecting booth for a start and walked over and said, Matthew, follow me and be my disciple. Now, Matthew was shunned by society. Everyone hated him. He was a tax collector. He just took everyone's money away. But Jesus, he accepted him. And so Matthew followed him. And not only that, Jesus went to his house and went with other people who weren't accepted in society. All the down and outs, all the people who people ignored in the street and crossed over the other side of the road to. He accepted them. He went into their homes. And you know what? He does exactly the same for us today. He accepts us. He tells us that we are loved. He tells us that he is for us. And I'm going to put 3 verses on the screen that I just want you to read and just to take in for yourselves, because this is true for all of us. So we are children of God, and we are part of Christ's body. Like, how accepted can you be if you're all part of the same body? That you have to accept your hand, don't you? You can't get rid of it. And it says that we are complete through our union with Christ, who is head over every ruler and authority. And I just want you to just take that in for just a second. This is true for all of us. These statements. Secondly, we're secure. Now, we all like to feel secure, don't we? Now, we all have different things that can help us to feel secure in our life. For me, I like to be in my sitting room, if I'm watching a film, under my duvet, all nice wrapped up, nice and warm. And it just makes me feel secure. You've got people that can make us feel secure. If you're with your family, I know that I'm with my mum and dad, when they've been down this week and I haven't seen them for a while. Do you know, I just think, oh, my mum and dad. I just feel so secure when I'm with them. And it's so lovely that I have that security with them. And we all have things like that, that we can, friends or family or places that we think, oh, I'm here, I'm secure, I'm okay. And has anyone watched 24? Yeah, it's pretty adventurous, isn't it? And you're like on the edge of your seat the whole time. And while we've been watching it, we have a joke about a security cushion. Now, we have a friend who I'm not going to name sitting in this room. And he would come over and watch 24 with us. And every time the cushion would come out and the cushion would be held. And there we would be behind that cushion. And we'd laugh. And if something happened, it would duck down and think, oh man, just hold on to that cushion. And then, exaggerating a little bit, but that's okay, I'm allowed to for this one. And then, but the security cushion, there's things that we can find security in, whether it's the cushion, whether it's a duvet, whether it's our friends and family. But again, all of these things don't last. But what we can have security in is Jesus. And we can see again that Jesus brought security to people. And there's one story in the Bible that really stands out to me that talks about Jesus bringing security to someone. And it's right after he was crucified and he'd been risen from the dead again. And he went to meet with his disciples. And it says this. At dawn, it's in John 21. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul the net over because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. And then I'm going to miss the rest out and say, and Jesus said, "Bring some fish you have caught." So Simon Peter brought and dragged the net to shore, and there were 153 fish. And when they got there, Jesus was cooking some fish on a fire. Now, how amazing must that have been for Peter? Peter had just days before denied who Jesus was, denied ever knowing him, denied wanting to be around him as he was being crucified. Now, how insecure would you feel if that was you? "Oh man, I have let him down. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I put myself in this position. How could I have done that?" And he would have had to have lived with that. And then Jesus comes and makes him breakfast. How secure would you feel if the one person you had let down came and said, "Come on, Peter, I'll make you breakfast." And then he talked with him and they came back into relationship and he was saying, Peter, do you love me?" And he asked it three times and their relationship was there. He made Peter feel secure. And it's the same for all of us. Do you know, we can let people down. We can let ourselves down. We all do things wrong. We all have parts of our lives where we do things that are wrong that God doesn't want us to do. But do you know what? He says, "You're secure in me." He will, metaphorically speaking, make you breakfast. And it says this, that there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, and nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we all need to know that, because we all mess up. We're not perfect. We all have these things. But I want to tell you, nothing in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God. We need to believe that. We need to know that, and we need to live in that, to know that God loves us so much that he doesn't want that separation anymore. The separation that came from Adam has been destroyed because of Jesus. How amazing is that? And finally, we have significance. And again, this is something that everyone wants. We search for significance. We have TV program after TV program of people who are searching to be famous, all the reality shows, and they want significance. They want to have a purpose in life. And we all say that. We all need that. We all want purpose. What can I do? Who am I? Where is life taking me? What is life all about anyway? Those massive, huge questions that we all ask from time to time. And when we realize our position in God, we realize that he gives us significance. It's because of him that we have significance. He gives it to us in that transaction. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." We have a new life with God. We are significant. In the second verse here, Ephesians 2, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he has planned for us long ago." We have plans with Jesus. There is a plan for us. We have jobs to do. When we live with God, there is purpose. I know that my day always goes better if I have a plan and a purpose to it. If I don't plan anything, do you know, I have a rubbish day. If I've got things going on, it's like, yes, and you feel finished the day, and you're like, God, I've achieved something. I feel like I've got somewhere today. Do you know, we can live with God's plan and our purpose for our lives all the time. We will always live with significance when we walk with Jesus. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you." He has plans for us. He's had them since before we were born. There is a purpose and a plan for every single person in this room. So I can tell you now, you have significance and you are significant. Just by being called a child of God, we have significance. Now, I know how significant Evie is to me. Like, she is significant. And nothing can change that. And God feels the same, if not more, because his love is perfect about us. We are significant people. Now, just to finish, I want to talk to you about The Hungry Caterpillar, which is Evie's favourite book. She loves this book. She loves looking at all the fruit. I can see some people smiling, saying, yeah, that's my favourite book too. I love that book. It's all good. And he goes through and he feeds himself up, and eventually he gets to the end and he goes in his cocoon, and there's his cocoon there. He gets nice, big and fat, ready for his cocoon. And then as you turn the page, wow. He is a beautiful butterfly. Do you know, Evie is always amazed. Every time you turn that page, she's, wow, that is amazing. And she loves it. She sees what was a caterpillar is now a beautiful butterfly. And you know, that is the same for us. When it says that we are made new, I know it's a bit cheesy and stuff, but this is who we are, that we could have been caterpillars, but we have been transformed into something new, and we are beautiful butterflies in the eyes of God because of Jesus, because of what he has done. And when we truly understand and put our identity onto Jesus and who we are in him, then he will transform the way we think about ourselves and the way we live. And when we come from this standpoint, then we do change. And it says this, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." And so this morning, I just want us to know that where we can put our identity, that at the end of the day, no matter what is going on in our lives, what people think of us, what we do, whether we're an up and everything is amazing, or whether we're in a down and things aren't so good at the moment, we can base our life and our assurance on the fact that we are children of God, and that we were made in his image, and that we are accepted, that we are secure, and that we are significant. And this morning, I just want us to all go knowing this fact, because it is true. And if you don't know Jesus yet, or you haven't met him yet, do you know this can be for you too? It said in Romans, all we need to do is say, "Jesus, I believe what you did for me on the cross. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again and that I am forgiven when I say sorry to you." And you can start this life of assurance, of being assured, of being significant and being secure and living from this basis. I know how much it helps me in my life, and I want it to help you in your life as well. So shall we just pray that we will get to understand this? Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for what you did on the cross, and it all comes back to you. It's not about what we do. It's not about who people say we are, and it's not about what we have, God. It's all about you and what you have given us. And you gave us security. You said we were children of God. And Lord, we choose to believe that this morning. We choose to put our identity on the fact that we are your children. Yeah, we just want to thank you that we can come before you and spend time with you and know you. And I just pray that we will learn to put this into practice for our lives, that we will learn to know how to live accepted, live secure, and live knowing that we have a purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.